here at the 2019 AXFI conference in beautiful Minneapolis, Minnesota, where, the rain has stopped. Yay.
No, it's still going.
Oh, it's still going?
Yeah. But we're inside the biodome.
We are. We are in the biodome of AXFI, where we're learning and
we're connected to the Mall of America. We don't ever have to leave this building.
You don't have to have
like,
to go anywhere.
What if you wanted a hat? There are 8 hat stores.
Totally.
There are 8 lids. If you need Starbucks, I believe there are 7 Starbucks
but
in this place.
But there is no Best Buy.
There is a Best Buy.
No, they took it out. I had to go off-site and get that TV.
Oh.
So, anyway, we digress. We digress.
Wow.
All right, we are here in a virtual arm wrestling match. And, John,
yes.
Control yourself, my friend.
Okay.
Control yourself.
With an actual wrestler. All right. Like, this is already unfair.
But you guys were up on stage yesterday talking about AI, the ethics of it, and the yin and yang of it, all that type of stuff. And it was you guys didn't really get into the debate. It was more of a very informational, educational session, which I enjoyed thoroughly because I need all the education I can get, especially on this topic. So, with that said, we're going to do a little debate here, right?
Oh, yeah.
Is that what we're doing? Okay, so who's going to take the pro-AI, the anti-AI, or how's it going to work? We want to do the lesson?
I'm pro-AI.
Pro?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a common cautious AI.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think either of us are anti or it's
cautious
it's,
AI.
It's a little, it's cautious versus anxious AI.
Okay. So on this side, we have Mr. John Best from Best Innovation Group, and then on this side, Brian Lay from Alpha Rank. And so cautious AI and pro AI. All right, so the first question right here that we have here on John's iPad. Recently, the European Commission made a ruling to preclude AIs from being granted personhood. Personhood, another new word for us in the dictionary. Was this premature or perhaps completely unnecessary, given the status of AIs today and the pace of technology development? All right, Brian, since you're the guest, I'm gonna let you go first.
I think what you're seeing here is it's just a signal that certain geographies are more concerned about AI. The European Union in particular, saying, hey, we are not going to grant personhood to these synthetic synthetic entities is a first kind of push back and say, hey, this is something we need to be concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it is, if I'm advocating the cautious AI standpoint, it's useful to have pushback and start to see regulation as it applies to restricting what you can do with AI. I think that the personhood subject is a little bit more gray, but net-net, I would argue it's a positive.
Okay, all right. John?
Yeah, I would say that when I look at it from a synthetic ID standpoint, I can see your point, but I think that we will have entities. I don't want to say personhood, that I struggle with that word. But entities that are autonomous in and of themselves. Like, for instance, one of the first entities I could see becoming sort of something that could have its own, like exist without a human owning it,
mm-hmm.
would be a car.
Yeah.
If you could build a car and said, hey, car, you're out on your own in the world now. Go make your living.
Mm-hmm.
You're an Uber,
mm-hmm.
right? If you've got a problem, you take yourself into the maintenance place. You make your own money. You have your own account.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a long way off, and this seems a little premature to me.
Yeah.
But we also talk about the idea of when we did our talk, we had Sergey, your buddy. He's always having lunch with Sergey. He's always eating with Sergey. Every time I call him, I can't talk with Sergey.
One degree of separation. That's not bad.
One degree.
I believe I am 10,000 degrees of separation. No, actually, I'm not.
Two degrees.
I can say three.
Two,
yeah, we're all here.
Right, you're right.
So anyways, the point is that when we look at what he had shown, we showed a video of his, what they're calling, I think, Google Duplex,
mm-hmm.
which is where they had their system call a hair salon.
Yep.
And very realistically, they were able to make an appointment that sounded like an actual human.
Yeah, using tonal inflections.
Right.
It's really very much like a person.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, that, to me, is where I would worry about personhood, because it felt like that could pass what we call the Turing test, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever seen Blade Runner, that's the whole big gig, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're actually going to need anti-Turing tests. I think we're going to have to go the other way. Like, I need to know whether I'm talking to, this and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So with that in mind, I would worry about one of those be granted, so like an avatar of me that's not really me, that's sort of that, back to your synthetic ID, I wouldn't grant that admission into any institution. It would have to be a real person that signs up.
Mm-hmm. A rebuttal, Brian?
Well, I think the rebuttal would be, you know, I think in general we actually probably agree on this more than other topics.
Okay. Yeah.
But I would push back and say, look, if you're gonna grant AI personhood, you should probably look at the other mammal species that are already here. Right? You have dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
We're not considering them people.
You don't?
No, not
weird.
Legally.
Legally. I'm learning a lot about you.
Totally.
Yeah. What about that time you tried to marry a dolphin?
Hey, I think, we're not going to.
All right, that's another show. Another program. All right. Specifically, with respect to our financial technology and financial services sector, what is your biggest concern regarding the use of AI? Or do you see only benefits for our industry in leveraging this technology? John, I'll let you go first on this one.
Sure. I think the biggest benefit I see from this is basically a decision-making process that can be put into place. I think that we have a problem in this country that we've stopped teaching financial literacy,
mm-hmm.
financial health, and they expect these systems to do that for them. It's not really doing that. All it's doing is a ledger. It tracks what you do. I think that we're lacking in some sort of intelligent process that could help guide basically a country of spenders. And traditionally when you see that happen, mm-hmm. the 1920s were an example of that. We had spending going on, everything was way fun, and then boom, we hit the Dust Bowl, we have this huge depression. And it's because no one knew how to save, and we just cranked, you know, kept putting out money, printing money, putting it out there. Now, up until then, it was right after that the gold standard, that's when they took gold and took it to, they said, hey, we haven't raised the price of gold in forever, we're gonna do that, right? I think that the idea that these AIs could steer people who are interested in the right direction of more savings, more things like that, is very important. So that's what I see it using. Now, when it talks about, you know, services sector in terms of the benefits, I think that because we as Canadians have so much data, something you advocate for, I could totally see an AI telling me, hey, you spend this one more time here at Chili's, you're not paying your mortgage. Or, hey, I also could see it honestly saying, hey, you know, based on your behavior here, you know, you may likely have a disease and you need to go check on it, you know. And I want to know. And so, to me, those are the big benefits, is to take the data we have and give insights. So I'll throw it at that.
Okay. Brian?
Yeah, to push back a little bit. I mean, you might have your AI say, hey, so today you have $0 in your bank account, you have zero job opportunities, and it won't have any money to save, right? So with, you know, 30% of American jobs being at risk from AI coming and automating processes, that may be less of an issue when AI does come than you think. Now, as it relates to the financial services space, I think the issue that's most concerning to me is that some of our advisors and board members at AlphaRank were the guys who built the original FICO Falcon fraud system. And when we talk about fraud with them, or fraud, like emerging types of fraud, synthetic identity continues to come up. As you know, we did an analysis personally, we found out that a lot of the charged off accounts that you're seeing never were real in the first place. And they're just being classified as charge-off. Mm-hmm. And that's a totally different topic.
Okay.
So what really concerns me is we already have, what, billions of dollars being siphoned off by bad robocalls saying, hey, I'm the IRS calling, you know, give me your PIN number. And that, those are bad, right? And we all know that, but there's you know, people that are perhaps, you know, due to age or illness, less cognitively efficient.
More susceptible.
At being able to weed that off. And then when you have the next version of what Google put out, calling people and saying, hey, John, this is that person that you knew at that school you went to, and here's a memory. By the way, you know, I was traveling in Nevada, my car broke down, and would it be possible for you to send me $5,000? You know, I remember that, you know, the last time we hung out, like, I helped you out, and I was going to call you. You do that at scale for tens to hundreds of millions of people, it's going to be very efficient at extracting money from individuals.
Indeed.
But that exists today. It's called GoFundMe.
But GoFundMe,
Jim Stickley.
GoFundMe paired with like an AI that has, you know, personhood, and then doing this for everybody.
Yeah.
I think the what was that movie that was out, John, with about the AI that the guy fell in love with? Maybe her, was it called Her?
Her. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the premise is, I think he like meets this woman online and she's an AI and they're dating, and then the kicker of the movie, spoiler alert, is that she's dating like you know, a million people at once,
right?
So she's doing this with everybody.
Not so special after all.
Well, that can, well, it's special to everybody equally. But I think what concerns me is when, you know, we talked about how you look at what a fake identity looked like 4 years ago versus today, huge difference.
Oh, massive.
And so in another 4 years, that is really concerning to me, because we can't even figure out, you know, bad, crappy synthetic identities today. Are we really going to be that much prepared in 4 years? That'd be my pushback.
Okay. John, you want to do a rebuttal or move on?
So is that why you left the dolphin?
Yeah, you know, it was the dolphin. It was dating around. No, it was dating around.
Gotcha. I see that.
And it didn't make me feel special.
We're going to find out dolphins are really like the answer to everything. The 42, you know, so long and thanks for all the fish.
We're just very promiscuous.
Yeah.
One of the two, yeah.
Yeah, we're not going to be proud of
that. I think my rebuttal is, I think it takes one to know one. Really, that's it. I mean, I think it's algorithm versus algorithm.
Yeah.
That's really where we'll wind up.
Should there be some sort of regulation where there has to be a clarification of this is AI you're talking to or dealing with at some point? Because
I mean, it should say that
probably
from
like
the world
lady.
Yeah, that was you couldn't tell it off.
But the problem is, if you do that, hair salon lady is going to hang up on it.
Right. Oh, of course.
Because
and the malicious actors are not going to adhere to that.
Right.
Of course not. So you just break all the good stuff and
conferences might become a whole heck of a lot more relevant.
Yeah,
that's right. All right, that said, we're going to go to the next one here. Should AI companies be speaking of regulation, should they be self-regulating, or will it be essential that an industry which generates this much public concern and even the distrust be regulated by the governments? So, Brian, I'll let you go on this one.
I think an analogy that comes to mind is like the general society-wide ban on nuclear weapons. Now, not perfect, and it's not to say that people don't do kind of under-the-cover research or development, but generally, when you have a big group of people that have agreed this is a risky thing, and we're all going to at least publicly adhere to some guidelines, it has slowed down, debatably, the spread of nuclear weapons and the development.
Yep.
I think it's pretty applicable to this discussion, because I think a counter-argument would be, well, some people are not going to do it. But in general, if you have a governing body, or at least a group of the top scientists that are saying, pump the brakes, let's talk about the concerns of this. I have two friends actually that are part of the Foresight Institute, which is specifically designed to talk about the risks of AI, in the hopes of educating people that are the decision makers to make more mindful decisions. So I think fully, yes, regulation is really important.
Yep.
It needs to be applied in a mindful way that doesn't necessarily promote the people that want to get into it going into the black market, like all regulation, but yes, fully for regulation.
Okay. John?
Fully against regulation. Regulation is dumb. Here's why. Because it stifles innovation, right? So the more we regulate this, and it's not fission-based particles that we're worried about here. It's a lot easier for people to get their hands into this. You can do it now. My issue is that I believe that this will have, combined particularly with quantum computing, which we just heard a great discussion on with Roger Grimes. Coincidentally, I have a nice podcast on that if you'd like to
check it out.
Yeah, check it out.
Look in the show notes below, and we'll
have it linked
in the show notes.
But at the end of the day, compared with those two things, the idea that you could use this stuff to solve cancer, to cure those sorts of things, I worry, and I say that to be just, you know, contrary a little, but I worry that if we put that much regulation on it this early on, that we will stifle the innovation that could help humankind. I'm not necessarily against it altogether, but I think there's a place and time for it. And my question would be, I more think of it like a car. You know, when did we have to, you know, I'm sure when they made the first Model T, no one said, okay, head down to registration, the DMV's right over there.
How did we
get a DMV so quickly? It's the first car,
you know,
but at the end of the day, that stuff wasn't there, but it did show up. But it got to make some moves. Now, I get your point. Cars didn't have the ability to kill 1 bazillion people that quickly.
They didn't have seatbelts either. Remember that?
Or windshield wipers.
Again, that was a wrong turn in my opinion too.
Seatbelts?
Seatbelts, yeah, those are useless.
All right, let's dig into this topic.
Yeah, we should go in there deeply.
Seatbelts, pro or against?
Well, no, it's seatbelts. Is there something better?
Is there like
airbags?
Yeah, or that movie with Wesley Snipes where he crashes the car in foam?
Yeah, you're talking about Demolition Man.
Yeah.
Don't challenge me on Wesley Snipes.
Hey,
movies.
No, I'm
an expert.
Pointing to it.
And that movie was made like in 1987.
Seatbelts, and movie reviews. That's another show.
Okay,
let's get back to AI.
Bottom line is though that could there have been a better answer that would save more people? And did we stifle that along the way?
Perhaps AI would have. If the cars drove themselves, that'd be better than seatbelts.
And they will. Yeah. They will.
The Model T with AI?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sure
they had it.
the super retrofit.
All right. Let's go to the next question. As a follow-on question, if you support governmental regulation, do you feel each country should create its own regulation, or will there need to be a level of global governance, and why? John, I'll let you go first on this one.
I don't support it,
but
I would say that I do believe that cultural considerations in this particular case are more important, are much more important. I do think it would need to be country by country. I think that just the nature of it, it's not necessarily a black and white concept like nuclear, in my opinion. I think that if you're an emerging country in Africa or something, there may be different use cases, and I wouldn't want that regulatory to stifle that for something that is non-existent there. In other words, we don't need a law in the books about horse and carriages if there are no horse and carriages in that country. That's kind of my mindset.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'll leave it at that.
Well,
to
push back, I mean, if you had a law about horse and carriages or there's no horse, it wouldn't apply. So I don't know if that's a valid argument. I think there's a book that I believe you've read too, the Nexus series, which is great as far as talking about AI, and in this near future imagined world, you have certain countries or areas like the European Union that have said no AI, no advanced technology, and they've kind of stalled. And then you have the developing countries like India and Thailand that have fully embraced it to try to bring their populace up to a better standard of living. And as a result, you have massive differences in adoption and technology, and it paints a very vivid picture of walking through the streets of Bangkok, and you can get all sorts of black market AI products because there is so little regulation or the government oversight is poor. Mm-hmm. So more of these fringe applications can apply. So because of that, I push back and adamantly disagree. It has to be a global standard, probably by getting the smartest, most ethical people, the decision makers together to create a consensus and then spread it out. If you're doing country by country, it's probably going to make the problem on an aggregate of like a true general AI issue much worse. You'll have certain countries, like China's already just running full speed ahead. If you have another country that's pumping the brakes, that could arguably be worse, because then you don't have two AIs. That might be one might be more protective, one might be more aggressive. We don't know how this is going to play out. You're just going to have one that's coming out, or a couple that are coming out of a country. I don't think a country by country basis is the way to do it at all.
John?
Well, I get your point on creating sort of a digital divide on the AI concepts, but frankly, not being some sort of socialist, I guess, like you are, I guess. My thought
Let's
process.
Get the politics out.
I'm sorry. I just thought I'd take a shot there. Come on, you got to let me have that.
I'll keep it.
Well, you told me earlier that we'll get back to the whole social medicine thing, but which was brilliant, by the way. This is a very smart guy. It's tough to debate him, but I do think that. When you talk about emerging countries and the mismatch in them, that happens all the time. That's just sort of capitalism, right? We created computers, we created the internet here in the United States. It took a long time for that to proliferate. I don't see how this is much different. And how often have we argued regulatory environment for internet, which arguably has taken things like human trafficking, a lot of these types of things, and just made them much more easier for people to network and happen. It's increased the ability for bad guys to do things, but that just comes with the territory of a new invention or something that is as prolific as this is going to be. I'm not sure we can stop it with regulation. That would be my rebuttal. I just would worry that what could we possibly put on the, like, for example, if Africa needs like a certain kind of AI that's doing something with agro, and we've forbidden I would actually see this much more in the biogenetics area.
Sure.
I'm a little more in tune with. But let's say they needed to do something like that, and we're preventing them. I still know. I did, or even they even try or test. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. But the flip side is that if you're allowing countries to do certain work using AI to create, you know, synthetic organisms, those can go bad real quickly too.
Oh yeah.
But I think maybe, you know, at AlphaRank we talk a lot about get a single understanding of what's the actual success you're looking for. Mm-hmm. What in this conversation are we trying to prevent a general AI outbreak that's negative? I think maybe we need to define what is the good outcome right. you're looking for from an AI perspective.
And what are you trying to prevent?
What am I trying to prevent? I mean, I'm trying to prevent, in this argument, you do not want a general AI. It's basically software that writes itself, that starts to compound its intelligence, that isn't at least structured or constrained in a way where it's more likely that the coin flip is going to end up positive for people.
You want a kill switch too.
I mean, bacon a kill switch? That is a question. So you're saying no kill switch in this argument?
No, I'm saying kill switch.
Yeah, so we both agree there should be a kill switch.
Right.
But I think if you're looking at, you know, how do you want to structure so you have it's called a beneficial general AI that's helping people, that's not just going to happen. You're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to construct some constraints around it so ideally it grows more in the direction mm-hmm. that you want.
Who directs this regularly? Who directs that? I mean, who has the kill switch?
Well, you look at
who's the master of this domain, so to speak.
There isn't one right now.
Traditionally, we see the UN step into these areas. Mm-hmm. You know, carbon footprint was an example.
Yep.
They're the ones that actually were tapped by the code of the
again,
protocol.
Again, a global entity.
A global entity yeah. that, you know, they're the ones that certify what we call CERS, which mm-hmm. is a certifiable carbon credit. So I would think it would be somewhere in that space.
Okay. All right, guys, last question here. In AI parlance, black swans refer to very rare, unforeseen, high-impact events. What black swans do you feel AI researchers and developers should be looking out for? Text there, John.
Yeah, I'll be all right.
Okay. Brian, you want to go first on this one?
Yeah, I mean, I think one black swan event would be, you know, AI not affecting any of us at all. I mean, I think John and I both agree that it's coming. It's going to certainly infect the jobs that people have.
Oh, yeah.
We were talking during our session about truck drivers in particular. Mm-hmm.
We saw this morning, man, he really took that to a new level.
Yeah, and I mean, that from a banking perspective is going to affect all of us indirectly as people have to retrain or find new jobs. It's going to really hurt. I think one black swan AI event would be it getting out and taking control or having perhaps a malicious nation state actor use it to take control of our underprotected, poorly designed infrastructure. So talking water, hospitals, mm-hmm. electrical, yeah. It could just wreak havoc. And that would be one of the ones that I'd be most concerned about, just using what we already have negatively against us.
Okay, John?
Yeah, this is one where I think we agree.
Yep.
We talked about the Google, you know, platform. So Google has a translate function. You ever use it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we
I
used
love
it together
I love
when
it.
We were in Singapore. I told you, everybody there speaks English, but you kept using it.
No,
it's okay. I know. It was weird.
It was my plan B.
I know.
Yeah,
plan B. They all speak English here. That's their first language. Yeah. But at the end of the day, anytime Google would translate anything, it would go through English first. So if you wanted to go from Japanese to Korean, you go to English and then to those, which creates a problem because, you know, the words aren't formed the same, the verbs are not in the same place. So they said, let's put an AI in that allows Google to, you know, learn how to translate between the two. Let it figure out the best way. Within like, I don't know, a week or so, it started talking its own language. It like created its own language. Mm-hmm. And they let it go for a little while, but then it started like talking to itself.
Pulled the plug, yeah.
Right, and that's when they pulled the plug. That's a little bit of a black swan event.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a similar situation where they took, you know, it was Facebook that did this. They took two AIs to play a very simple game.
Mm-hmm.
So let's have them play this game and see what
yep.
happens. And after a little while, they started bartering with each other. They started
yeah.
creating rules outside of the game that would allow one or the other to gain, you know, an up on it. So I think, to me, those are some black swan events that, like, it's like when you're trying to make the light bulb, you know, and you're rolling along trying to find what the right thing is to flash, and you discover one that blows up the entire block. You know, let's stay away from that filament and move on to something else.
Mm-hmm.
I think, to me, those are the events that I worry that a normal engineer or researcher we'll look at that and go put it aside. But someone else is going to go through that data because it gets published pretty frequently and go, hey, wait, what was that? You know, and then that gets into the wrong hands. And so to me, that could create the black swan events. And I do think we'll have one. I think for every technology, we've seen a black swan event. I'll give you my examples. You know, the first one would be, there was a virus called I Love You.
Mm-hmm.
It was such a simple and brilliant virus. Yeah. Email had just proliferated. They sent an email out, and the subject just said, I love you.
I love you.
And the psychology of it was just brilliant. Because if you get an email from your boss with a subject that says, I love you, and you've never seen anything like this before, it's good to know he loves you, and you want to know why.
Sure.
You know? So they opened it, and that spread. And it was a very simple virus. It just deleted a bunch of stuff and things like that. That was a black swan event through email that kicked off a lot of things that would happen there. Before that, we had what was called the cuckoo's egg. The cuckoo's egg was if you've never read the book, it's fantastic. It talks about...
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Egg?
No. That's a good movie, but a different book. But the cuckoo's egg talks about a group of hackers, basically from the war games era, that hacked into our military group. And one guy happened to find a signal somewhere and tracked it all through the country, through everything, on who these guys were.
Mm-hmm.
So that was another black swan event when they realized we can't just have these open dial-ups and things everywhere. And that's how they got in. War Games is kind of based on that.
Right.
So what will be the black swan event? You know, and we've seen, I think we've seen our black swan event for this portion is the identity breaches.
Yeah.
I think losing that much identity information has really shown us that this level of the internet and a centralized database is not a realistic expectation of security. It's just not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
What will be the black swan event with this? Well, as we get the magnitude of technology becomes more and more, the black swan events are much higher magnitude because the stakes are higher.
Mm-hmm.
What this looks like when it's out there, I think it starts off great.
Do you see a positive black swan? I think like a positive black swan event that came to mind is like Robert Downey Jr. came on and was like, I'm going to solve climate change using nanotech and AI. And I was like, I want to believe, you know? I hope.
Okay, Iron Man.
That's
bring it on.
One thing came up when you were talking about the Facebook where they had these two entities play against each other, and they basically started cheating the game and hacking the game to win. I think it's really important, whether it tips positively or negatively, understanding that the grain that you start with is going to fractal into something. So there's a great book if anyone wants to read like what's on the very fringes of figuring out where people came from. It's called At Home in the Universe. And it basically proposes that life kind of starts very small and fractals out. So you've seen like cauliflower or sunflower seeds.
Slime mold.
Yeah, that have that fractal. I think AI might be very similar. So if you bring an AI out and you have one and you're like, okay, we want you to win it all costs, right? That might fractal into something much more malicious than,
completely.
All right, we want you to be as mindful as possible about living systems.
Mm-hmm.
That might have something. Now, they both still might go bad, but paying attention to what do you start with, I think is critical, be it something that turns into something really wonderful or something that's much more concerning. And that's why it's important to have conversations like these,
mm-hmm.
so the people that are designing or playing with it, you know, understand that just like a child, it's going to grow into something that is much bigger than you.
You have to think down the road.
Yeah.
Way down the road. All right, guys, let's wrap up the debate here with final thoughts here. John, I'll let you go first with some final thoughts, and then Brian, you can wrap it up.
Thank you.
My biggest fear is that in an industry where we're already really risk adverse, that we do not embrace this quick enough. And I believe that AI as a tool for financial services will create exponential gains for those that adopt it quickly. And so the purpose for me of this event is to take those sides, to get these things out there that know what the mitigations are, and that just really want folks to dig in on that and understand that these could be extinction level events for financial institutions. And so don't take these debates at that, take them seriously and really look into this.
Yep, indeed. All right, Brian?
Yeah, I think the position I'm taking is one of, you need to get your basics set. We talked a lot about, it doesn't matter if you have the best AI system in the world, if you don't look at it, if you don't use it, make sure you have that foundation of understanding so you can build upon it. And really, in this conversation, the goal is in the middle. The gold is in the middle.
So we took those two extremes.
Yeah,
off.
It's really be mindful about the human problems that you have to solve to use it, and be mindful about how you use it, but at the same time, you gotta use it. You have to start thinking about this. It's gonna come so fast.
Mm-hmm.
And competitors like Chase are already doing it. Mm-hmm. So not starting to think about it, not at least using your data in a simple way and creating that foundation would be a massive mistake.
Right.
Have you guys seen Face.me, the company that builds the AI, where
call
center? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I interviewed them at Money 2020 last year, and it blew me. And it, when you mentioned it, it got me thinking, what it's going to be like in 2 years from now or 5 years from now.
We're never going to see Brian again. It'll just be a...
You'll be Face Me.
You'll be Face Me.
I hope.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for the debate. And this is a conversation that will go on and on.
Thank you, John.
Appreciate your knowledge.
Pleasure, man. Thanks
so
much.
There they are. Brian Lay, Alpha Rank, John Best, Best Innovation Group. Well done, lads.